This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Jacob. Thank you for joining me. This is Hunt Detail, and hope you're having a great week and getting after it. Obviously, it's a fun time. I'm seeing a ton more deer sort of out and feeding as I'm just driving around. And, you know, they're hitting the fields, and haven't really seen any bucks yet, I don't think. Or maybe I have and just haven't gotten close enough. But either way, it's exciting. And today we're going to do part two of the hunting knife to rule them all. And I recently completed and have launched the full video of looking at 17 different steels from 17 different knives. And the knives are really just the framework for an evaluation of the steel. So I know in some ways it may be like, wait, you know, I'm trying to find the best knife. And honestly, there is no perfect answer. There is no best knife. It depends on your situation. If you are using a knife for saltwater activity, you're, you know, on a boat and you live on the coast and you're constantly exposed to that, then you're probably going to want something that has a high level of chromium and a high level of stainless. It's a high level stainless steel. And there are differences. There are gradients of stainless steel. Not all are perfectly stainless. And the same can be said for if you're in an area where you want something that's just really tough. You don't need the stainless dynamic. And maybe that's in a drier climate, maybe in Arizona, New Mexico, whatever, you know, those sorts of places come to mind. And so it really depends on your needs. And so again, as you, if you watch the video, which is incredibly thorough, it's more thorough than anything I could do on a podcast. Because at the same time that I'm talking, I'm showing visuals of the composition of the steel. I'm showing visuals of the ratings in terms of edge retention, toughness, and corrosion resistance. And there's other content there as well to that I'm communicating. Now, the video is a little on the long side. I don't like it. It's about 30 minutes in length. I always put chapters within my videos so that you can jump to the things that you want and get the information you want. You don't have to sort of zoom back and forth through the video, which I can't stand. I also have a cheat sheet. If you go to the Hunt Detail Instagram page, give me a follow. You can see that cheat sheet and a bunch of other cheat sheets if you click on the Linktree link in my profile. And that sheet is, I mean, it goes into a lot of depth. It has the blade thickness. It has some other information there. And but that's yours for free to download and to evaluate, and has pricing of those knives. But again, the framework, the knives are really the framework to talk about the steels. Because I think a lot of times we're, again, looking at knives and we're like, I don't know, that looks really cool. And it's a good price. I think I'll go with that. And how is this one so much more expensive than that one? Or how vice versa? So when we start understanding the steel and the composition and some of these other things that make a steel unique for our particular use, then we can understand the real value of it. And there's more science and art into knife making than I could possibly share in a video. The knife maker, how they, the process that they do of heating and cooling, the process that they do in terms of getting to a certain Rockwell hardness is important. The harder that they make it, that higher Rockwell hardness, let's say it's 63 or 65 Rockwell hardness. Well, that impacts it can make it more brittle. And as we talked about last week, if that knife has large carbides, like chromium creates large carbides, if it has a very high Rockwell hardness, it has large chromium carbides, and it's maybe wasn't manufactured using powder metallurgy, which is another concept we talked about last week, then, you know, that may be a really brittle knife. However, if the design is such that it doesn't it has chromium in it, but not at the highest amount, it has, it was created using CPM, which is crucible powder metallurgy, or some other type of powder metallurgy process, then it can reduce the size of those carbides. And while it has a high Rockwell hardness, it can also be very tough. So as you hear this, you can understand there's an interplay, there's a give and a take, there's trade-offs with all of these aspects of steel. And I'm just, you know, I am not an expert in it, of course. I've just tried to spend a lot of time learning about it recently. And I rely on the research of Dr. Laren Thomas. He has a PhD in metallurgy, and he's done a lot of research on knife steel specifically, and toughness, edge resistance, corrosion resistance. And he's rated those steels as such. And that's, he had given me permission to use that data to share on that video. So that's a little bit of a summation of last week. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. I would also encourage you to go to the Hunt Detail YouTube channel to watch the video, and you can really get an in-depth visual and audio experience as it relates to knife steel. Now, we'll continue our conversation about those. Before I get to that, I do want to remind you that Relight, which is a zero sugar hydration mix, the pina colada is my favorite, I've discovered. Pina colada is fantastic. It's a really smooth, zero sugar, full of electrolytes. And it's you can get that and other stuff at redmondlife.com. Use the code DETAIL. You're going to save 15%. You're also going to help out the show. Secondly, Raw Rev is makes protein bars. They're out of this world. I love them. It's all natural stuff, and you're going to get like 12 to 13 grams of protein a bar, which is really high, and it's only going to come with like 2 grams of sugar, and you're not even going to miss it. And as we get closer to hunting season, it's good to have that stuff with you, the Relight and the Raw Rev bars. And so I encourage you to check that out. Also, when you get a chance, I don't ask this a lot, give this show a 5 stars on iTunes. Give us a rating. I really appreciate that. And of course, would help spread the show. I am, on a personal note, I'm heading out west to do some mule deer hunting, and I'm trying to get my gear dialed up. It's a little bit different than what I've done in years past. I've done more elk hunting, and I'm trying to find some clothing and stuff that's a little lighter in color, because I'm going to be doing more stalking and glassing. It's a different type of hunt, different style of hunt. But one of the things that I've learned or come to know is on Onyx now has ViewShed. And ViewShed is a tool that allows you, imagine if you're looking, and you can do this on Google Earth as well, but you're looking at some open terrain, mountain country or big hill country, and you want to do some glassing. And maybe it's in the mountains, maybe it's in the plains countries, but you're going to rely on your glass a little bit. Well, ViewShed allows you to see, it highlights what you're going to see from a particular viewpoint or not see. So let's say you try to find the highest elevation in that area. You turn on viewpoint on Onyx desktop or Google Earth, and it'll highlight all the things that you can see from that point. And so it's a really nice tool, because it's like, oh, okay, this is, you know, if I want to look on, let's say, as the sun is rising in the east, it's creating opportunities for shade and bedding for mule deer on west-facing slopes, let's say. Well, I can use ViewShed to look and see, okay, am I going to have a good view of those west slopes? I mean, I'll be looking into the sun on some level, but, or if I want to go, say, look from the northwest or the southwest into that west-facing slope, it gives me an idea of what I'll be able to see or not see. And I think it's just a fantastic tool. And the way they've set it up is you can just move it along, and it'll just continuously update. It's a little different than what you see in Google Earth Pro. Also, Onyx has LiDAR now, and I have no affiliation with it, with any of these companies. But I just wanted to share that with you as you do your own scouting stuff. What I'm doing, one of the things that I am doing now, is I've thought, I'm like, do I really want to, I mean, I, I, you know, I'm kind of fired up about the hunt, but kind of not. It's not an elk hunt, and it's just, for me, it's different. But I did do some scouting recently, some e-scouting, and I started to see that, like, I'm trying to think of, like, okay, where am I going to camp? I'm probably just going to sleep in my truck or my car or whatever. And I don't feel like putting a tent out. I just want to sleep in the vehicle. It shouldn't be a problem. But you can't park and camp on certain pieces of public land, but you can on other pieces. And so as I was looking, I was trying to find pieces of public land that are attached to a road, because you have a lot of public land that's landlocked. And yeah, sure, you could hike through a piece of public to get to this other piece of public that's that allows you to camp, but it's not going to allow you to pull your vehicle onto it and camp there. And so that's one of the things that I've done. It's a little different than in years past in terms of e-scouting, is I'm really trying to find places like, okay, where can I park to camp that's on a road, but also connected to maybe a good looking piece of public or a larger piece of public, that where I can wake up and I'm right there ready. I can hunt really from, you know, really close to where I'm camping. So, because the last thing I want to do is drive 30 minutes or whatever to somewhere, a campsite, and then get up and drive the next day. Certainly, I'll be driving around and trying to understand areas that I want to hunt and potentially glassing from the road to see if there's, you know, mule deer or whatever. But I want to be able to camp on the road and not drive somewhere to a central area where everybody else is camping, I guess. To me, that's it. That's a strategic advantage. So I wake up, boom, I'm ready to go. And it seems like something sort of like, oh yeah, that's obvious. But when you look at the map, you start to see like, oh, there's not a lot of opportunities and you really have to dig. And I found probably somewhere between 10 and 15 areas where I could pull that off. And then I've also found other areas where that might not necessarily want to camp, but they could be secondary areas because it's a smaller piece of public. But I could camp there. It just doesn't have enough terrain for me to sort of satisfy what I'm trying to do. But ultimately, hope you're doing your e-scouting. And let's talk about some knives. So again, there were 17 different types of steel that I evaluated. I mentioned last week the 52-100 ball bearing steel, A2 tool steel, D2 tool steel. And these steels were developed in the 40s and the 60s. 154 cm stainless steel is from 1970. 440 cm, I mentioned 1945. So now, and a lot of those were designed for industrial uses. And still, even as I go further into it, like CPM M4, so CPM M4 is a crucible powder metallurgy M4 steel that was designed for, it started to be used in knives in the early 2000s. It's a high speed tool steel. And then you get into CPM S45VN and CPM S30V. And these steels are, again, CPM standing for crucible powder metallurgy. They were designed for knives. This is really the first time that a steel, the S30V, was designed in 2002, and that was designed for high-end cutlery. And then as we get to, and then as we move into 2009, you have CPM S35VN. So it goes 30V, 35VN, and then 45VN. So 35VN was 2009, and then in 2019, you have 45VN, and these were all designed to be, 35 was supposed to be an upgrade over 30, 45 was supposed to be an upgrade over 30 and 40, 35, and they all offer something a little bit different. I would say that the 35VN is probably the most balanced with the corrosion resistance of 7.5, and then edge retention of a 5, and a toughness as a 5. And but all of those are high alloy stainless steels. And again, you have all these alloys of carbon and chromium, molybdenum, vanadium, tungsten, in some cases, niobium and nitrogen. And so that's where it really impacts, you know, what that steel is going to become or do. Now, as we get to the top, and when I say top, I'm going through sort of the bottom. What I did was I took the scores that Dr. Laron Thomas gave each of these steels as it relates to toughness, edge retention, and corrosion resistance. And I added those up. And when you add those up, it comes up to a total number. For example, S35VN that I mentioned had a 5.5 and a 7.5. It totals 17.5 points. And then as we move up, we have what's called a steel called CPM Crewware. Now, Benchmade makes a knife called the Raghorn Carbon Fiber. I really like the look of that knife. And it's made out of CPM Crewware. This came out in 2003. This was supposed to be an upgrade over A2 and D2 tool steels. So this is also a non-stainless steel. It scored an 8 in terms of toughness, a 5 in terms of edge retention, and a 5.5 in terms of corrosion resistance. So it's a total score of an 18.5. The only problem is it's a $420 knife. It's very expensive. So if you're looking for something that's really tough, this is a great option. But for me, it just wasn't as attractive. And then you get to a score of 19. This is a M390 stainless steel, and where the Crewware had an 8 for toughness, this has a 3.5. Where the Crewware had a 5 for edge retention, this has a 6.5. And where the Crewware had a corrosion resistance of a 5.5, this has the M390 has a corrosion resistance of a 9. And so another steel I'll call out, the Benchmade Altitude Carbon Fiber is made out of this. The Altitude is a really thin-handled knife. This is a great-looking knife. It's made out of CPM S90V. This is also a stainless steel. This steel was designed as part of the plastics industry. And in early 2000, this scores a 9 as it relates to edge retention. So this is really the highest scoring steel as it relates to edge retention. And I can think of scenarios where it's like, if I'm out in the field and I don't really want to deal with sharpening my knife, this is something that's going to hold an edge for a long, long time. And again, it's S90V steel. It has a 7.5 as it relates to corrosion resistance and a 3.5 as it relates to toughness. So really interesting option. I think it's a $300 knife. And if you look at that knife from an edge retention standpoint, like if you just want to carry a knife, you don't want to carry a sharpening stone or any of that stuff, excellent option. Now, that was the number three knife in the whole sort of evaluation. Now, the number two knife, and this is a folding knife from Off Grid Knives. It's a Polaris XL. It's Vanex. It's made out of Vanex Super Clean. Now, this evolved to be a knife-specific steel, and it came out in 2017. And it has, 18.2% chromium. So a really high level of chromium. And it had a 10 as it relates to corrosion resistance. Then a 5.5 in terms of edge retention and a 5 in terms of toughness. And I think for me, I mean, it's like, okay, it's a 5 on toughness and a 5.5 on edge retention. And a 10, the only way that I would go for a knife made of this steel would be something like I mentioned earlier, where if I'm constantly exposed to water or salt water, that sort of thing. Actually, I did want to bounce back, though. There was a knife from Bonds Creek Knives called the Nomad. And it's made out of AEBL stainless steel. This knife was $100. This steel was designed for razor blades back in the 1960s. It's a stainless steel, and I want you to pay attention to these numbers. Toughness, 9.5. Like, that doesn't sound right for a stainless steel knife. Most stainless steel knives have a very low rating. Edge retention is a 3, which, again, edge retention isn't the worst thing ever. When you have a stainless steel that you can sharpen, think about, like, your mechanical broadheads. Like, you shoot them, you shoot them into a deer, you get them out. If they're still straight, you can resharpen them and use them again. Or if you shoot them into a target, you can resharpen them and use it again. So edge retention, to me, isn't the be-all, end-all. But it's, so it's a 9.5 in terms of toughness, a 3 in terms of edge retention, and then a 7 as it relates to corrosion resistance. So it's not, it's a really solid option. It's not a pretty knife. And again, there's a lot going that goes into knife making outside of the steel. It doesn't mean, you know, again, it goes back to, like, what kind of edge do they put on it? What's the Rockwell hardness? That sort of thing. But that was Bonds Creek Knives Nomad. So let's talk about the number one knife, or the number one steel, I suppose. So there's several companies that use this type of steel, and it's the steel is called MagnaCut. This came out in about 2021. I think it really started getting into knives just last year. And Argali makes a MagnaCut knife, Montana Knife Company, Buck Knives, Gerber Gear. So there's a lot of companies. I chose the Montana Knife Company Stone Goat 2.0 that's made out of MagnaCut. Now, this steel was specifically designed by Dr. Laren Thomas for knives. So it wasn't designed for some industrial purpose, that sort of thing. This knife, specifically the Stone Goat 2.0, is $225, which is a steal, in my opinion. They don't state the Rockwell hardness, but from a toughness, it scores a 7. Very high score for stainless, right? Edge retention is a 5. Again, that isn't the be-all, end-all for me. And then corrosion resistance is a 9.5. So you have something that's highly, a very high stainless steel that is very tough and holds a great edge. And so for me, I look at that, and I look at that AEBL steel as the two options that interest me the most. But this total score here was a 21.5. And so that came out to be the top steel from a scoring standpoint. But again, it really depends on your needs. If you want edge retention, then I would go with CPM S90V. If I want, you know, something that's highly corrosion resistance, even more so than the MagnaCut, then I probably would go with the Van-X or the Van-X Super Clean. And then if I want something similar to the MagnaCut but a little less expensive, then I might go with the AEBL stainless steel. But ultimately, it's a really interesting look. It's interesting to learn about these things. Now I feel smarter as I go in into a store, a sporting goods store or whatever, a camping store, and I can, okay. So it's like, it's an S90V, it's a 45V or a Crewwear. And I'm like, yeah, that has a lot of chromium. You know, what's the Rockwell hardness? I can really understand what I'm buying. Or in most cases, we're buying stuff online these days, and we don't ever have a chance to even really look at it. So I can look at those things online and understand them in a much different capacity. So hope you all found this helpful. Really appreciate your time and your support. Please go download the cheat sheet. Go watch the video on Hunt Detail YouTube and subscribe. And we'll talk again next week. Thanks so much.
Your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kid will outgrow tomorrow. and he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.